responsibly. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And do not forget all his benefits.
The Lord is merciful and gracious.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
For as the heavens are high above the earth,
so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him.
Remain standing for hymn number 271.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. Our Savior Jesus reigns.
Together to worship, realizing we need not summon you into our midst, for you are here. We need not call you into the secret places of our hearts, for you are there. We need our eyes of faith to be open, that we may see you, our ears to be unstopped, that we may hear you, our minds to be sensitive, that we may know you, our hearts to be tender, that we may receive you. Grant each one a blessing, O Lord, as each has need. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. You may be seated.
Testament lesson today is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verses 4 to 10 on page 577 of your Pew Bible. This is Jeremiah relating his call from when God called him to service. He's telling the story. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I commanded you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Our God gospel lesson is found in the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. And this is a story of Jesus who healed a crippled woman on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrite, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie his or donkey or ox from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
Isn't it interesting that the leaders, the priests in the synagogue, didn't recognize that with Jesus' ministry, with his coming, there was going to be a whole new way of doing things, and they were criticizing Jesus about not following the rules, and they didn't know that things were going to change. You may remain standing, but turn to hymn number 51, "We Will Glorify." Yeah. You may remain sitting. Thank you, Shirley.
Lord,
As we prepare for our offerings, hear these words. God has shown us the meaning of generosity in the beautiful diversity of creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, and the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. God has abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that honors each other, to be servants to others with joy, and to share our love and material possessions. Let us rejoice in what we have been given and in what is ours to give. Pastor will come forward. Lord, as we give these gifts from our heart, make them also gifts from our mind, that we are making a conscious decision to return to you what is yours and to support the ministry and activity of this particular church as well as the worldwide church. Amen. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity to gather freely and safely to worship you. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that that will be true for so many of our brothers and sisters in the world before too long. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for that peace, that somehow we learn to communicate and accept one another and show our love. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that for those who are experiencing illness or health issues in our family of church members, and we pray, dear Heavenly Father, specifically for Pastor Roger and his 70th birthday celebration this weekend. What a wonderful milestone, Lord. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for those people that serve us in the community, for those who serve us in the military and freely give of their time and sacrifice their own needs and family needs and so forth to make sure that we are safe. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the recent elections, primary though they be. We pray that people will make good decisions about who they elect to govern us and make decisions on our behalf. And we will keep that in mind looking forward. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided individuals to bring your word to our pulpit every week as we search for a new pastor. And we pray that each one of us will be keeping that in the forefront of our individual prayers, that exactly who you have chosen for us will be made clear. We know, dear Heavenly Father, that we need to match pastors and churches with personalities and locations and so many details, Lord, but we pray that we know that you have someone in mind for us, and we pray that that individual will be made known soon. And finally, Almighty God, source of all life, giver of all that is good, we gather to offer our praise and thanks. The richness of our lives, when we stop to take measure, is more than we can comprehend. We have blessings of joy and hope, the challenge to labor, and the luxury of leisure. Your world is full of wonder, and its beauty delights us. We praise your generosity and confess that we are ungenerous receivers. We are slow to share and quick to squander. We take for granted that we have and anticipate more. Give us an awareness of your blessings so that we shall share joyously and live responsibly. Give us a sense of self-worth so that getting these things done does not usurp other values. For all your goodness, let us express our gratitude by genuinely caring for your world through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now hymn number 439, Divine All Love Excelling. We'll hear from Linda Freeman this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for your guidance as I share my heart with these dear ones. Over the centuries, volumes have been written by great theologians about your love. And we just sang about your love, Lord. Charles Wesley's lyrics. Thank you for his insight. Thank you for the glimpses of your love in our lives. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. What I hope people remember from this sermon is to obey God because he loves you, and partner with God in healing other people because he loves them too. Jeremiah is one of the most authoritative prophets of the Old Testament, but when God first told him what to do, he flinched. "Lord, I'm too young." So God spelled it out, "Do not be afraid." For that period of human history, when the average lifespan was around 30 years, we find that Jeremiah had a long life. He became a prophet to the Jews in 627 BC at about 20 years of age and served six kings. Josiah was the first king that he served until Josiah's death in 609 BC. You'll remember that Josiah was the king who found the scrolls hidden in the temple, and they'd been ignored for many decades, and Josiah pulled them out and had them read to him, or he read them, and he directed that they be obeyed. He was appalled that those precious scrolls of God's word had been ignored. And so Josiah was one of the best kings of Judah over the years, and that was the best government that Jeremiah had ever worked under. The next king after Josiah died was Jehoahaz, and he was so corrupt that he was replaced after 3 months. The next king was Jehoiakim, and he was corrupt too. And then there was Jehoiachin, who was corrupt. So three kings' lives were just times of great sadness for Jeremiah because they were ignoring God's word. And the people, of course, followed whatever the king said. So it was times of great sadness. Part of my work at the hospital is being with people who have suffered a lot. Someone I worked with was a professional at Essentia, lost her son on Saturday night of an overdose. And I was just reading it about Toby Mack. His son died of an overdose, and Toby Mack had written lots of contemporary Christian songs that were really positive and upbeat. And then after that happened in 2019, we hadn't heard from him for a long time. But he said he realized that in the darkness, God was working in his life. And just recently, he wrote a new song in the memory of his son. So all those years of times of great sadness, Jeremiah kept faithful to God. And he even wrote another whole book called Lamentations that's all about the lament that he hoped the people of Israel and Judah would turn from their wicked ways and change their mind about their lives. Even after the fall of Jerusalem, Jeremiah kept prophesying to the Jews, and he went to Egypt with the Jews for several years. Then there was Zedekiah, who was the king when Babylonian King Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem in 586. And Jeremiah set his heart to reject his initial fear that he was too young, and his fear of those evil kings, and his fear of the Babylonian Nebuchadnezzar. And the Babylonians were famous for being incredibly cruel to their countries that they invaded. But Jeremiah was courageous. And do you know that the Babylonians respected him so much because he tried to get his people to be obedient to God, even though it wasn't Marduk, Babylonian's God. He was trying to get the people to be obedient and peaceful. And the Babylonians respected him for that and gave him a choice of where he wanted to live. Did he want to live in Babylon or in the land of Israel? And he picked the land of Israel. So Jeremiah continued to preach the word of the Lord to the Jews until he was about 80 years old. If you remember, Jesus told the disciples in the Gospel of John 3:34, "The one whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit." Isn't that incredible? God can give us the Spirit without limit to share what he wants us to share with people. Some of you have reached your 80th birthday. Maybe you think you've paid your dues, you've worked hard all your life, you're retired now, you can rest. But think of Jeremiah. Maybe God has special work for you to go and speak to your community, speak to your friends. Maybe no one else could have the effect that you have in their lives. Don't flinch. Don't say, "I can't obey God. I'm not the right age to serve God that way." Roger and I celebrated our 51st anniversary in June. We first met as high school seniors, and I'm sure many of you have been in love. Wives probably recall when you were first married, it gave you great joy making your husband happy with good meals or even making the bed in the morning. Most husbands like to provide what their wives need too. In human relationships in general, men crave respect from their wives, and in general, women want to be pursued and loved. But God is the greatest lover of our souls. Loving acceptance, gentle caring, and gracious living. This is the model that God the Father ordained for the human family. But no human will ever be able to fulfill your deepest needs for relationship like God can. What does a relationship with God look like? Jesus, God's Son, said in Mark 12, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The Lord God who created the universe, all that is certainly worthy of our respect. In his perfection and holiness, everything God wants for us is pure and good. God is certainly worthy of our adoration and worthy to be obeyed, all for our good." I think about artists. God is the ultimate artist, creating the universe. And they're finding out more and more with these satellites how beautiful, incredibly beautiful the universe is. And he created humans. He had the joy of creating us. And he gave us free will. He didn't make puppets. He wants us to love him voluntarily. I don't know if a lot of you are quilters, but quilters put together different pieces and they sew them carefully. And then when they're finished, they're just so beautiful. And people will say, "Oh, that's really gorgeous," and it makes them feel good. And God feels the same way about his creation, and he feels good about us. And so we want to use our free will to obey him and live the life that he's designed for us, a life that's wonderful. So don't be afraid. Jesus is radical agape love, his loving kindness. Agape is translated from the Greek as loving kindness, loyal love. And that's Jesus's kind of love for us. And Jesus is God incarnate in the flesh. So he's the greatest example of love. And he sets people free from their infirmities of body, mind, and spirit, and soul. And in this passage this today, we learn that he touched the hurting woman. Don't be like the Pharisees who criticize Jesus. Instead, partner with the Lord. Live a life of love, living a life of God's kind of love. It's a self-giving love by helping and helping others heal. Do you believe that Jesus' love can help and heal other people? Do you? The world is a dusty, tiring place that often beats us down. A church building is a haven, a quiet refuge, a place to encounter God. Our church buildings were given to us by the hard work and contributions of our forebears to remind us of our dignity as sons and daughters of the living God. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, drink deeply of the life-giving waters of the Word of God. It's a word that brings love to your life and that can revive our drooping spirits. The grace of God that flows from this altar is an all-encompassing, never-ending agape, loving kindness from the lover of our souls. There is no greater love than God's love. His love bears us back into the world, changed and able to help others change as we are obedient to God's word and listening to his loving and merciful spirit, bringing healing to people, bearing fruit of the Spirit, which is the fruit that remains. If there's anyone here who's seeking to know Jesus, not just know about him, but to know the character and the deep, deep love of Jesus personally and deeply, please feel free to pray with us. Faith is just believing the promises of God Almighty. Let us pray. Father God Almighty, creator of the entire universe, as we reviewed the life of your prophet Jeremiah and the powerful healing love of your beloved son Jesus, we come to thee with humble hearts. We confess that we are all sinners in need of your forgiveness and thirsty for your love in our lives. Please forgive us by the blood of Christ that was shed at Golgotha. We pray for your Spirit to move in our midst. If there is anyone here who needs your touch, let them be courageous like Jeremiah and take a step of faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let's sing the last song. (clears throat) 226. What wondrous love. Thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Meet you downstairs. What kind of room?
Test, test, test. Test, test, test. Test, 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 test. There we go. Test, test, test. Sounds good to me. I'm better than dead.